Near FM.
The Week in Review with Declan Ralph. For stories you haven't heard anywhere else on the radio this week.
This is 90.3 Near FM, and I'm Declan Ralph, and welcome along to The Week in Review. Now, as usual today, I'll take a look at the stories that affect us, but you won't have heard much about them anywhere else on the radio this week. I'll feature stories too about people and groups that you may know or are interested in. Indeed, you might even be involved with them. And of course, I'll have a look at the local stories that affect you as well. Now, if you'd like to get involved in the show, or you'd like me to feature something on the show that you are interested in, well, you can contact me right now by text to 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. While the show is on the air, you can get in touch that way, or you can get in touch at any time on Twitter at NearFM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. Now, coming up shortly, the local stories and local events with Sarah and myself, as Ken is away this week. Filming commences on a new TV series about Finglas, past and present. The Dollymount Dames COVID Recollections 2021 is published. You can feel a deadly buzz at the RDS over the coming while. And also you can do your bit for charity through Shine a Light for People Experiencing Homelessness. And the Goethe Institute Ireland celebrates 60 years. Now, a music tradition that's characterised by its transmission from generation to generation in the home and in the community is celebrated with four families of master musicians, all masters of their art, teachers of the tradition and inspiring admiration right around the world. The O'Brien family, the Potts family, the Mulligan family and the O'Scally families will join together for an evening of top-class traditional music this very evening. The event is called Families of Note, a celebration of the resilience of traditional music in Dublin City. It's produced by Lorcan MacMahuna, and Lorcan will be here with me in about 10 minutes' time or thereabouts. This coming Wednesday night, October 13th, will mark a special moment for Dríocht Theatre over there in Blanchardstown as it stages its first ever theatre production. The visit is a work of the lauded Irish playwright Deirdre Kinahan and takes a look at important themes which can affect many women and families, including how people can get their lives back on track to fulfil their dreams. The One Woman Show charts the contemporary female heart and sees the lead role breaking out from the old ways, complete with cowboy hats and a ukulele in tow. Sounds fantastic. It's a production which champions the underdog, and its run at the theatre this week marks its world premiere. And to tell us all about that, and to tell Sarah more about it, more importantly, because Sarah is going to be chatting to actress Mary O'Driscoll from the Visit play, and that will be just after 1 o'clock today. Since its beginnings back in 1980, the Pipeworks Festival has brought a diverse and exciting programme of music to audiences in Dublin. It's all centred on the organ, its music, its players and its heritage. The weekends of October 16th and 17th and 23rd and 24th, that's the next two coming weekends, will sound a welcome return to Pipeworks in enchanting venues right across Dublin. And this year the festival is celebrating anniversaries and fans are in for a series of concerts to remember, they say. And we're going to find out more about that when the Pipeworks Festival Artistic Director David Lee talks to Sarah about that at about a quarter past one or there or thereabouts. And if we've time, which I'm sure we will, we'll squeeze in the jobs and volunteering opportunities from the activelink.ie website that we do each and every week.
Local stories with Ken Kilbride. Local events with Sarah Birmingham.
So, we're going to do the local stories. Ken is not here, as I said, this week, but Sarah is. I'm going to try and do my best with some local stories, and Sarah has some events. Hiya, Sarah.
Hiya, Declan. Great to be here.
Great.
Thanks for
stuff.
That.
Well, I'm going to start off, Sarah, with that story, local story, about filming commencing on a new TV series about Finglas, past and present. It's called A Finglas Story. It's going to look at the rich history of the town that, until the Dublin Corporation Housing schemes of the 1950s, was actually a countryside village of a few hundred people. Believe it or not, Sarah, hard to believe now, right, with the metropolis that it is.
Certainly different now, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah. Employment was found in either farming or working in the local Merville Dairy, which turned into be Premier Dairies. And then Premier Dairies, of course, now owned by Avonmore. So you can still get the Premier milk here, though, on the north side. Very important. First to be interviewed on the programme was one of the workers from the dairy, Miles O'Connor, who delivered milk to residents of the growing town for over three decades. Born back in Finglas in 1938, Miles is an avid sportsman who took to the field for both Dublin and, of course, the local team, Erin's Isle. He recalls an annual fundraising Gaelic football game in aid of the Finglas Pipe Band interestingly, that we have Pipe Works Festival on later, between Finglas and nearby St Margaret's, and the fierce rivalry that it prompted. The prize for the winner was a football, believe it or not. So it looks like a really interesting documentary, an interesting TV series. I suppose you call it a documentary, really. And producer Declan Cassidy is a Finglas native himself, and he has described getting underway with the making of the series as very special. I suppose it's very personal as well for him. He said his mum and dad came to Finglas in the 50s as it was being transformed from that sleepy village we talked about into the sprawling estates of Corpo, as he says, in inverted commas, the Corpo houses that they all grew up in. And Dad was an artist and very involved in community work, so he's very well known in the area. And the series uses the family experience of growing up in the community as a starting point for the wider story. So it looks like it's going to be really interesting. It's put together by Declan Cassidy. His social media handle is at Declan Creative. So that's Declan, like my own name, Creative. And it will be brilliant. And it's going to be available on the Dublin Community Channel DCTV that broadcast on the Virgin Media Network. So if you're a Virgin Media customer, you'll be able to see that. I'm sure it'll be online as well, and you'll get to see all of what's happening there. Now, Sarah, let's look at some of the events that you have. One of the first events that you have is about enjoying flourishing sounds at the Button Factory in person and for real, I presume?
In person and for real, yeah. It is fantastic to see concerts starting to come back now across town, outside of town, and across the country too, indeed. But this coming week is going to see an exciting series of quite intimate concerts come to the Button Factory, that venue there in Temple Bar. And this series of concerts is really about kind of sustainability, the environment, the focus on kind of being kind to the cultural world and to our own environment and our own world as well, as the venue celebrates the return of live music. So doing things a little bit differently, the Flourish Concert Series, as it's been called, is kicking off this coming Tuesday evening, that's the 12th of October, hard to believe, and it runs through until Friday, which is the 15th. And over the four nights, the series is going to really kind of feature a lot of emerging and exciting new artists, hip-hop, R&B, soul, electronic, whatever it is that might tickle your cultural taste buds, it's all there. And some established artists too, the likes of Gemma Dunleavy, a good Northsider who I'm quite a fan of, she's going to be performing as well. Malachi, there's loads going on there. The Button Factory itself is going to be transformed into a green space for the concerts, with that focus on the environment as well, and all of the artists, attendees and crew members are going to be given a seed pack for those who go along. So I think it's a new way of doing things, but a nice reminder, I suppose, of the importance of the environment, and I think more importantly as well, perhaps the importance of live entertainment events in our world as well. So hopefully that'll all go fantastically, and there are some tickets still available, so if you'd like to check that out, definitely recommend if you go to Sense-Live. So the series is been produced by Sense, and it's sense-live.com. You get all the details there, and you can book your tickets as well for the week.
In person and for real. Brilliant. Great to see it all coming back to some kind of normality. Now, Shine a Light, that campaign's been running for a few years now, Sarah, and it's coming around again.
It is indeed. Yeah, it's a fantastic campaign. It's a real, I suppose, one that particularly raises awareness of homelessness as much as it raises funds as well. And it's happening again this Friday evening, October 15th. It's a Shine a Light Night campaign. And it's calling on business leaders, companies, schools and people in Dublin and across the country to join together in sleeping out. It could be in your home, could be in your garden, your workplace perhaps, even depending on where that is. And it's all about raising funds and awareness for Focus Ireland and their work supporting people in homelessness. So there's over 930 families experiencing homelessness, and I know a little bit from my own work as well, that figure, you know, it hasn't gone down in recent years. There's 2,000 children included in that as well, and, you know, for those children, I suppose it's very hard to maintain any kind of a childhood, you know, when you're in homelessness. So last year was Focus Ireland's most successful Shine a Light Night, and I guess everyone was able to take part and support the campaign virtually. So this year, now that, you know, there is that bit more freedom to come together, they want to make it an even bigger success. And if you want to play your part in that, you can register now and you can help to raise funds for Focus Ireland on the Just Giving platform. All you need to do is go to shinealight.focusireland.ie and they'll get you started there.
Brilliant, yeah. Now, I have an interesting story here, a local story as well, about the Dollymount Dames. I never heard of them, but we'll find out a little bit more about them here. Yeah, well, they've put together some COVID recollections 2021, and it's a compilation of stories, reflections and ditties by members of a swimming group of the same name that was formed during COVID. The group swims at Bull Island and Dollymount down there in Clontarf, hence its name. They began as a mere group of three and quickly grew to its current membership of 53, would you believe? So they say a tribe, the ethos of the group is that no one should ever swim alone. Safety first, and after that, fun is mandatory, they say. While a global pandemic raged around them, the Dollymount Dames found refuge in each other and in the cold Irish Sea. A sense of connectedness in a time of separation. Each member brings their own unique sense of themselves that adds to the richness of the group. However, as a collective, they are like a benign tsunami, they say. A fierce, powerful tribe helping to keep one another buoyant and ride those waves. The book,
a force to be reckoned,
doesn't it? It sounds great.
Absolutely. Yeah. How are you doing on sea swimming yourself, Declan?
No, not good.
Would you be joining the Dollymount
Dames? I swim like a brick right to the bottom.
Okay.
So
that's loud.
The book captures the essence of the Dames, who are the embodiment of resilience, hope and empowerment, they say. And it's a commemoration of a specific time and place. A great idea. And all proceeds from the sale of the book, which is a self-print, so they've saved money on that end of things as well. And all the proceeds are going to go to the RNLI, which I suppose is an apt charity to give the proceeds to, given the swimming in the sea.
Absolutely, yeah. Great, great charity as well.
Interesting, yeah. So I must try and get a copy of that and see, you know, what's in it and what are the little stories that are there. Now, we've probably time for one more event, Sarah, and I think it's an organisation that Near FM do a lot of work with. If you look on the podcasting part of Near FM, you'll find some interesting anecdotes and stories about the institute. That I'm talking about the Goethe Institute, Ireland. They're celebrating 60 years, and you've got the details.
Yeah, they're celebrating 60 years this year. So they first opened in Ireland in 1961. And as you say, like that, in lots of ways, they really have played an important and a very active role in that kind of cultural community exchange between Germany and Ireland. So they've really made a difference, kind of made their mark on the country. They're celebrating their 60th anniversary year, and they have a special programme of events running right throughout this month to mark it. So, yeah, there's events taking place online. There's events also in person and live, as we like to say now as well, in the Institute there at Merrion Square and in venues across the city too. So something on offer for everyone, whether you're a fluent German speaker or you have ein bisschen Deutsch, as will be more my place. But there's a language taster class taking place on Tuesday. That's going to teach participants how to talk about film in German. There's a visit of the Goethe Institute Ireland with the architect Martin Henschen, and a live concert with special guests, all among the varied selection of events taking place as part of the celebrations over the coming weeks. Loads there, and it's all to mark the 60th anniversary and the difference that the Institute has made in Ireland. If you search Goethe Institute Ireland or visit Goethe, and I should say that's goethe.de, and if you click on their Ireland page there, that'll have all the details of all the celebrations happening.
Great. Thanks a million. Thanks for all those events, Sarah, and for helping me fill in for Ken today as well. So we've a busy programme ahead between the pair of us. In a couple of moments, we're going to play a little bit of music now, some Kinks in a moment. But after that, then, I'm going to be talking to Lorcan McMahuna about an event this evening that's called Families of Note, a celebration of the resilience of traditional music in Dublin City. Sarah will be back just after one. And the first interview you have in the second half of the programme, Sarah, is with Mary O'Driscoll, who's an actress from Dreacht in Blanchardstown, going to be talking about the play called The Visit, which is a one-woman show, and that's a feat in itself. And then a little bit later, maybe about a quarter past one or thereabouts, you'd be talking to the artistic director of the Pipeworks Festival, and that is a gentleman called David Lee. So all of that still to come here on The Week in Review, but for now, it's the Kinks. 90.3, this is Near FM. Hi there, I'm Declan Ralph, and welcome back to The Week in Review. Now, if you want to get in touch at any time, you can get in touch right now via the text line 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. You can do that while the show's on the air. Or if you want to get in touch at any time, you can do that via Twitter at Near FM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. Now, a music tradition that's characterised by its transmission from generation to generation in the home and in the community is celebrated with four families of master musicians. Now, they're all masters of their art, teachers of their tradition, and our tradition, I suppose, and they inspire admiration right around the world. And Lorcan McMahuna, who's the producer of this fantastic event that's on this evening, is here to tell me more about it. Hiya, Lorcan, how are you?
Hello, Declan, hiya.
Great.
Loud and clear, hear you.
Loud and clear, good stuff. Lorcan, this sounds like a great idea. I suppose the first question is, where did the idea come from? It's a brilliant idea.
I guess we just wanted to put the spotlight on music, particularly for the past year that... The only place where traditional music was happening was probably within the homes. And this is, you know, this is where it's a natural place where it all begins anyway.
Yes.
But then we take it out into the community. I mean, just wanted to focus on that particular aspect of it and put it out before the wider community of Dublin. And, you know, just to celebrate the fact that we can sort of gather together again and celebrate music together. Because, you know, music is really there to be enjoyed with other people. And so... we're celebrating the roots of it there, and we're also celebrating the community aspect of it, so it's going to be on tonight, and I expect it to be great fun.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it will be. Tell us a little bit about the families that are involved here. I mean, we have the O'Briens, the Potts, the Mulligans, and the O'Scally, is it? I should know.
That's good,
yeah. Tell us a little bit about them.
Well, they're all sort of, you know, noted and highly respected in Dublin. Now, the Potts, of course, they're sort of connected with a tradition of piping that goes right back to the days where piping was in real big trouble in Dublin. You had the formation of the Pipers Club with Eamon Cantor in 1900. And people like the Potts, like the Mulligans, they were sort of have a direct link to the Pipers of that era. Then, of course, they become part of the sort of renewal of traditional music and the sort of the elevation of traditional music in the 50s and 60s. You had Sean Potts was involved with... O'Riordan's Culturey Coolin. Mick O'Brien, of course, Mick O'Brien sort of had so much influence on so many different musicians because through his teaching and his wife, Fadama and Kira, all like really top-notch musicians, I thought very, very well respected for their own art and for their own ability, but also the outreach that they've done throughout their whole lives. And we want to sort of celebrate that. Celebrate their contribution to music and just sit down and enjoy them.
Yeah, great. And, I mean, will they be performing individually in their family units or will they be performing collectively with one another?
Well, we put these families on stages to do their own selections. And again, we're sort of, it's their own choice and they're sort of, their particular selections will be based on, you know, their own memories, their own recollections and inspirations that they that have had a big effect on them. And then we're going to bring everybody back on stage. And when we do that, like there's a couple of things out. There's a couple of different focuses, you know, sort of different legacies that we want to sort of commemorate. And so they've made a couple of selections of that. And then we're finishing off with a finale of a specially commissioned piece with my Martin Tourish. It's an arrangement of McGill Amar, the song. And there's a nice connection here as well between the past and the present and the future in that Sarah Kenny Scully will be the vocalist on this. Her grandfather was a vocalist on just 40 years ago of an arrangement like that by James Last, which took place in College Green. And that was a sort of a seminal recording of that particular song. But it's nice we're going to take this inspired by that, but the voice of today's edition will be the granddaughter. And the Scullys, of course, there's seven generations of the Scullys in Dublin, but they've got a long tradition with the city, but also with this traditional music, which has its influences from around the country too.
Yeah, great. No, it sounds like it's going to be a great event, and it's on tonight.
It is, yeah. It's on in Meeting House Square at 9 o'clock, and it'll be streamed live on Facebook through the SULT page, S-U-L-T on Facebook.
S-U-L-T. Okay, and tell me, I mean, you mentioned there at the start of the chat that it's great to be able to do a live event, you know, where people, real people will be at it. So are you looking forward to that aspect of it?
Yes, totally. Yeah. I was at some live events myself last weekend. I went to Belgium where I was performing, and the reaction from audience members it was revitalising. First to the play and then the response. Like one particular woman told me that it was like getting replenishment from the soil, from its inner roots. But it also sort of ignited a flame. So I mean. That contextualizes the whole sort of idea of tradition to me as well, anyway, that you get replenishment from something that's sort of long-lasting and that has deep roots, but that it gives you hope and inspiration and, in fact, gives you a flame from to illuminate your own present time.
Yeah, great. So how did you get through the whole COVID yourself? Did you manage to keep performing and keep going?
I changed focus.
Right.
I think for many people they might have fallen into this in that household duties became different. I became Moonshire Scholar.
Right.
I became a homeschool daddy.
Yeah.
That's what I did for the most part. The performance sort of stopped. I didn't take much to the Zoom stuff. But I did do some videos and things like that. So in preparation for the opening up, I did some touring, but also did some videos with it, and I'll be releasing that later on. But sure, that's not about tonight. That's just something else. Just,
yeah. That's a whole other story.
A lot of people, there was a rethinking on how you would do things. And for some people, they came up with new ways, which might provide a legacy on how they do things going forward. I think I just made some adjustments like that myself. And I think we'll see some very innovative ideas coming as a fallout of that. And I hope some of them will stay with us.
Yeah, and I think even the event tonight, to come back to that, I mean, you know, the fact that there is a live event that people can attend,
yeah.
But also the fact that you're streaming it online on the platform, it is, that's probably new. That probably wouldn't have happened pre-COVID, you know? It would have been one or the
true.
Other, you know?
Yeah, that's true. The live streaming, we found ways to reach out to people who have a real interest in this particular niche, because traditional music, you know, it might be a particular niche, but there's a community around the planet who have an interest in it and who would really love to at least observe something like this. We expect that we have a huge audience online for this.
Yeah.
And I would expect there would be people logging in from, you know, as far away as Japan and North America, South America, all over Europe. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that particular end of it comes out. But the first thing we're going to focus on is celebration of the people who were there right before us and taking part in it, and a new awakening, maybe. It's like coming out of the winter, you know.
Yeah.
And that appreciation of that bit of live music before you. But that's what I expect tonight.
Yeah, brilliant. And it's in Meeting House Square. Are there any tickets available for anyone if they want to pop in?
I think that the tickets are completely sold out at this stage.
Right. Well, not surprising.
It was a limited capacity. I think it was 150 based on sort of just the rules at the moment. They have been gone for the past 2 days. But people can, obviously, they can log on and see it online.
And it's SULT is the platform, is it?
That's right. Sult. In the Irish word for good fun.
Oh, Sult. Great. Great. You're educating me as well this morning, Lorcan. I didn't know that.
Well, you should try and learn something new every day, Declan. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's always my philosophy.
Yeah, no, and it sounds like that you're doing a little bit of Moontour Scullet this morning there. You sound like you're at a match or something, so I'll let you get back to it.
I have my daughters out here playing with the Ballymun Kickums.
Great.
And this is going on for me now.
Great. Well, I hope she's doing well. Listen, we'll leave it at that, Lorcan. Thanks a million for taking the time to talk to me about that, and wish you luck with the event this evening.
All right, thank you very much, Declan.
Take care.
Great,
bye-bye. That's Lorcan McMahona there. He's the producer of Families of Note, that event that's taking place tonight. And it's a celebration of the resilience of traditional music in Dublin City, and based around those four families, the O'Briens, the Potts, the Mulligans and the O'Scullys. And it sounds like it'll be fantastic. Unfortunately, as he said, no tickets left for the live event in person, but you can log on to that SULT platform, S-U-L-T, and you can see it all there from the comfort of your own home. So there you go. All right, well, look, still to come after one, Sarah will be back again, and Sarah's going to have a chat, first of all, with Mary O'Driscoll, who's an actor from Dríocht, about the play The Visit, a one-woman show. Looking forward to hearing about that. And a little bit later then, Sarah's going to chat to David Lee, the artistic director of the Pipeworks Festival. So we're making Sarah work very hard today that Ken is away, and I'll still be around here for the next half hour as well. So we'll see you at the other side of these.
90.3.
This is Near FM.
And welcome back to The Week in Review. And don't forget, if you'd like to get involved in the show, or you'd like me to feature something on the show that you're interested in, well, you can contact me right now by text to 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500 while the show is on the air. Or you can get in touch at any time on Twitter at NearFM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. And Sarah's back with us now. How are you, Sarah?
Hi, Declan. Good to be back. Sure, there is so much happening at the moment. And this coming Wednesday night is the 13th of October. It's going to mark a special moment for Dríocht Theatre over there in Blanchardstown as it stages its first ever theatre production. It's a real homegrown affair. It's called The Visit, and it's the work of lauded Irish playwright Deirdre Kinahan. And the play takes a look at really important themes which can affect women and families and people across Dublin and beyond, including how people can get their lives back on track as well to fulfil their dreams. The one-woman show charts the contemporary female heart in particular, and it sees the lead role breaking out from old ways, and it promises cowboy hats and a ukulele as well, so lots of fun there for sure. Yeah. It's a production which champions the underdog, and it's run at the theatre this coming week, marks its world premiere, so very exciting for all involved. And I am delighted to be joined on the line now by actress Mary O'Driscoll. Thanks for joining us, Mary, just for a little flavour of what's coming up. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Sure, so maybe to give people an idea, like, what is The Visit all about, or what kind of themes run through it?
Well, I suppose The Visit, the title says it all, is that Rose, our main character, receives a visit in the morning, and that day is really important for her because she's just joined a choir. The upshot of the visit is she finds out information that makes sense of her life. And her life over the last 30 years has been a life of isolation, abuse, domestic abuse, and she has become, I suppose, a sort of prisoner in her own home. And joining the choir has been her release and has helped her get reconnected to the world. And during the course of the play, we find out about what that life was like as she makes sense of the news and the information that she receives earlier on that morning. I don't want to give too much information away because I want people to come along.
It's very fascinating. That idea of the choir as well kind of elicits, I think, when we talk about themes like, you know, the well-being and the kind of journey maybe that Rose has been on, and that idea of the woman's heart, you know, it kind of brings us back to that classic record,
and the
woman's heart.
The healing of music, the healing of community, and the healing of being connected with people, and talking about your feelings and being able to, you know, have that muscle of being able to talk about your feelings, because you lose that muscle when you become isolated, and you lose that fluency and you lose that ability to connect with people. And if you lose the ability to connect with people, you lose the ability to connect with your own feelings, because people being in connecting with people and talking to people helps us connect with our feelings and our reality.
It's so pertinent at the moment, you know, getting back into theatres after 18 months,
Holy God.
That idea of connection.
COVID. Exactly. Because I suppose with COVID, a lot of people lost connections with family, with community, with work, and all those things that we needed to sort of make sense of our life we've all been cut off from. So, yes.
And how was Rose's character created? I just saw a little of the home theatre project.
Deirdre wrote a small piece based on, not on the life experience, but, you know, using sort of starting point of a lady called Maureen Penrose. And she wrote, after talking to Maureen for half an hour, Deirdre wrote a play called Yes. Now, it's not about Maureen's life, so just to be really clear about that. But and then we performed that play in Maureen's house, and it was lovely, and all her family were there, and all the fairy cakes that were, the queen cakes were made for us, and it was lovely. It was just amazing. And it was an amazing piece. And it was based on that, I suppose. So it's very anchored in Blanchardstown. It's very, it's about the community of Blanchardstown and Clonee. So it's very much of the area and of the community. And it's had its sort of seeds in the community, which is lovely. And it's come back home again.
It's very exciting for Directs to be hosting it then this week, you know, and especially given that it is kind of one of the first works back, I suppose, in person.
Yes.
So if people would like to kind of go along or to get tickets and information on it, how should they do that then?
Well, give, no, I don't have the phone number here, but
no problem.
Give Dreach Theatre a shout. I would certainly get you more information about phone numbers, etc. But contact Dreach Theatre for tickets.
Brilliant.
But hurry,
sure,
because it's booking out fast. It's booking out fast.
Well, that's the message to get to people. I think it sounds like a fantastic work, you know, and
hurry
hopefully
on,
a really enjoyable role to get into too. So that's what we
And Deirdre's done an absolutely amazing job of the voice of the character. The voice is just beautiful. It's beautiful, and it's a gripping story. Really gripping, and a gripping character.
Imagine,
and I'm really lucky.
Yeah, that's a very tempting to see us. But look, we definitely encourage people to get along. Obviously, the message is you're going to have to jump on it quick if you would like to go along. And look, thanks for just giving us a little flavour of that. I think the themes there are so pertinent at the moment, and people will really take a lot from it.
Everybody's life. So,
thanks so much for that, Mary.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
And thanks a million to Mary and to you, Sarah. That's it sounds like a really interesting play, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Really rooted in the community there. And I think just one of a huge number of events now, which are just so exciting to have back in person as well. So really, thanks a million to Mary there. I know we could have chatted for a half an hour, but
absolutely,
a lovely flavour of what's to come there.
Brilliant. Okay, we're going to take a short piece of music from Bobby Darin, and then you're going to be back again talking to David Lee, who's the artistic director of the Pipeworks Festival. So deep breath and a little rest for you while Bobby Darin's on.
The Week in Review with Declan Ralph. For stories you haven't heard anywhere else on the radio this week.
Since its beginnings in 1980, the Pipeworks Festival has brought a really diverse and exciting programme of music to audiences in Dublin. It's all centred around the organ, its music, its players and its heritage. The weekends of October 16th and 17th and 23rd and 24th will send a welcome return to Pipeworks in really enchanting and varied venues across Dublin. This year the festival is celebrating anniversaries and fans are really in for a series of concerts to remember. For more about what's in store and how you can check it out, I'm delighted to be joined now by Pipeworks Festival Artistic Director David Lee. Thanks so much for joining us on the programme today, David.
Hello, sir. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Yeah, brilliant to have you on. And I guess, you know, maybe the organ is an instrument that people might not necessarily consider kind of first off. Can you tell us a little bit about what the world of organ music is like in 2021?
So, well, I suppose most people's acquaintance with the organ is in a church context. But of course, the organ is a very important part of liturgical worship in many traditions. In fact, I myself, in my day job, I'm lucky enough to be the organist of St Patrick's Cathedral in Dublin. So I'm very well used to that kind of strand of activity. But there's also an immense solo repertoire for the instrument, which spans more centuries, I think, than almost any other instrument. And we're looking at music from the 15th century right up to the present day. Of course, the buildings in which many of these instruments are housed are particularly spectacularly the cathedrals in Dublin, of course, for example, featuring in this festival. There's also a huge amount of music which uses the organ in combination with other instruments. And, of course, in this festival, we have an example of that with our new commission. And we also have a bit of dance in that concert as well, so reaching out across different art forms.
That's quite cool, yeah, to think of bringing that into the modern kind of, I suppose, different venues and different kind of performances like that. What have those last 2 years, and it's the cliche question at this stage, but just thinking about that, when we hear about the organ, and it elicits that images of church music and of really special and sacred occasions for people. Like, what has that kind of been like, been, you know, for the instrument, not having maybe those audiences or those places to gather over the last 2 years?
It's been a very, very, well, as I'll get no prizes for saying, it's been a very, very bizarre time for everybody. And musicians in general, of course, have been impacted hugely by it, in that we've had no gigs, no concerts, no events, and of course, no church services either for much of the last 18 months. I personally seized the chance to do lots of solo practice, which was very, very, very enjoyable a small silver lining in the cloud. But it is wonderful to see things kind of returning to some semblance of normality slowly but surely now. We've worked hard in Pipeworks to keep a presence going during these times. We had a digital festival last summer. We had five events which were just pre-recorded and then streamed. We've had a good few other streamed events since. So we haven't been sitting idle awaiting the day when we can come back in person, but it will still be a very great pleasure. I was looking at St Michael's Church, Dunleary, of course, which has a very venerable tradition of organ recitals, the very long-running series there, and a landmark instrument by an Austrian builder, Rieger. I was lucky enough to attend a concert there a few weeks ago now, which was the first live concert I've been to as an audience member, and it was just a fantastic atmosphere.
It is really very
reminding everybody what we've been missing.
Absolutely, yeah. So I think you've very much whetted people's appetites for a bit of live organ music, and certainly their ears will be ringing at this stage. But can you tell us a little bit about what Pipeworks is all about, or what does it kind of try to achieve, I guess?
Our mission statement, if you like, if I may use that phrase, is to bring the very best of any music really related to the organ, involving the organ, and we have a substantial choral element as well. We're lucky enough to have the Mornington Singers, a very, very fine chamber choir based in Dublin, performing in one of our concerts. Really, our remit is to celebrate the very, very best of indigenous organ culture. So we showcase plenty of players from this country, and to showcase our finest instruments, which are not always in the most obvious of places. Many of them are, of course. You think of the Dublin Cathedrals, St Michael's, and so on. But there are also some hidden gems which we like to highlight from time to time. And then also the second strand, I suppose, of our mission is to bring the very best of international talent to hear, so that people will have a chance to hear the truly great organists from elsewhere. So, for example, in this festival we have Vincent Dubois, who's one of the three titular organists at Notre Dame in Paris, most people would probably regard as one of the most prestigious posts in the world. And we have an English, we have two English organists, one of whom actually also lives in Paris, Andrew Dure, who's a multiple international prize-winning recitalist, and he will play in St Patrick's. And my great friend Daniel Malt, who is the head of organ in the Royal Birmingham Conservatoire, a renowned teacher of the organ as well. That's another strand to what we do. We're very much committed to offering educational opportunities for young organists. So both Andy and Dan will be giving masterclasses during the festival, which will be open to other people as well, within the COVID restrictions, of course.
Absolutely, yeah. I know on your posters and the general theme around this year's festival is all related to anniversaries. Mm. How important is that for you, or what way is that going to be kind of reflected back through the programme?
So it's something I always do when I'm planning anything, is just see if there are any significant anniversaries that that we should be marking. I think one doesn't always have to base a programme solely around anniversaries, of course, but it seems to me, when I looked at the number of significant people in the organ world who did have very significant anniversaries this year, that I thought that would be a good thing to do, just not only to celebrate how great they were, but maybe to remind ourselves of their significance and maybe even to reassess their importance. So we have Josquin Desprez, the preeminent, very old composer, late medieval, early Renaissance composer, who died 500 years ago this year. With Sweelinck, who was a very, very significant early Baroque keyboard player. He had a huge influence on the following kind of 200 years, which included composers going right up to J.S. Bach, who would be, by common consent, the most important composer of all for organ. Then much more recently, we have a Frenchman called Marcel Dupré, and he was the organist of another of the very famous Parisian churches, Saint-Sulpice. He died in 1971, I beg your pardon. We're 2021 now, okay. Where I'm kind of losing track at some. So he was an extremely significant, not only was he one of the world's leading concert organists, and he would go and do coast-to-coast tours of America and play 90 concerts in 93 days and kind of crazy schedules like that. He was also a very significant teacher of the organ. So he taught a whole generation of French organists, composers. And he was also extremely active as composer himself, wrote a huge amount of music for organ. So Andrew Dewar's recital in St. Patrick's will be a celebration of Dupré's music. And also, one of his most significant pupils, was a lady called Jeanne de Messieu, who died tragically young, phenomenally talented organist. And she was born 100 years ago today, I think I'm right in saying. Yes. Yeah. So we're celebrating her anniversary as well.
Fantastic. So it's really,
there's an awful lot in there.
It really is. Yeah, it just shows you that kind of legacy, that kind of caliber of the performer and the music that we're talking about here. But if people are maybe new to it and would like to go along to the festival and maybe just check it out and experience the sounds and the music, what's coming up say next weekend, and how can people get tickets for that then as well?
So we're spread over two weekends. Essentially, what this festival is the bits of the June festival which should have happened earlier in the year, which we couldn't put on because they involve bringing people from abroad. On Saturday next, we've a talk which is going to be online by Andrew Johnston, who is a very distinguished scholar who's works in the music department in Trinity College, and he's going to be talking about Josquin des Prez, who's the composer whose 500th anniversary of his death falls this year. Hugely important figure particularly in choral music. Then we have, with Andrew Dewar, we have a masterclass, and that's taking place out in St. Philip's in Milltown. Then Andy is playing a recital, which is called Dupré and His Legacy. So Dupré is hugely influential composer of the 20th century and hugely influential teacher as well. But that's not all for that evening. We also have a second concert. We're very excited about this. It's featuring a specially composed work by Anne-Marie O'Farrell, who's a very well-known Irish composer and harpist. And it's a work called Ave, and it's dealing with all aspects around the Blessed Virgin Mary, and it's thinking about using the space of the cathedral. And so it's for a rather unusual scoring of the organ, which I myself have the privilege of playing. Cello, which very is nice. Going to be played by Martin Johnson, who's the principal cellist of the National Symphony Orchestra, and Anne-Marie herself is going to take the harp part in this piece, and we also have Justine Cooper, who's a dancer, who will be involved in that performance as well. And the rest of that programme will consist of some organ music that picks up on those themes, and I'm also going to improvise on some Marian themes that Anne-Marie has used in the thing, and Justine will be dancing along to that as well. So we've got a fusion of forms there.
That'd be really good fun, yeah.
And then on Sunday, we have, I suppose, probably a rather more straight organ recital, if you can put it like that. And that's out in St. Michael's Church in Dunleary, and that's given by Vincent Dubois, who I mentioned is one of the titulaires at Notre Dame, Paris, and you don't get much more prestigious than that, so that should be a concert to remember. He will be improvising as well as playing some music by Dupré and de Messieurs.
more than accomplished to do that, I'm sure, and to create some brand new sounds and fantastic memories, I'm sure, for people as well. I think there's a great buzz and excitement around going back into a venue now of any kind, and especially one that's kind of magical as that anyway, you know, when you mentioned some of those great venues. So just maybe to give people, that's a great kind of introduction to it, but just to give people the website address or where they can go and kind of find out more and book tickets and head along then as well.
So pipeworks.ie will take you to our website, which has details of all these events. I think the booking is via Eventbrite, the website.
Yeah.
But we should find a link on our website to that as well.
Yeah, I think people have gotten familiar with the various platforms and stuff over the last 18 months, especially as well.
Yeah.
So it's going to be one to remember, I'm sure. And look, we really appreciate you just coming on to kind of whet the appetites and give people an idea of what's in store. And head to pipeworks.ie for all the information. And yeah, we just encourage people to go along and check it out and enjoy. And thanks for telling us a little bit about it, David.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thanks so much for that.
So before we finish, I want to let you know about some jobs and volunteering opportunities that we usually do at this time in the programme. I take these from the activelink.ie website, where there are literally hundreds of opportunities. And this week, in fact, there are 32 requests for volunteers and 338 job offers, believe it or not. Now, the volunteering opportunity is with the North Wall Community Development Project. They were formerly known as the North Wall Women's Centre. It was established back in 1985, actually, by a group of local women. Over the years, the centre recognised that its central message needed to be communicated to a broader community if the centre was to provide global perspective on women's issues, child welfare, social exclusion, and facilitate inter-agency solutions, rather than focusing just on single issue perspectives and single agency solutions. Now, they're looking for board members. Board meetings take place every month with a commitment for subcommittee work on alternative months, and the meetings take place in Lower Sheriff Street and are currently in the early morning time. It's a voluntary board of management, so no fees will be paid to board members. And if you're interested in that, further details can be got from Nessan Vaughan. And Nessan is the company secretary, and you'll get Nessan via email, Nessan Vaughan, that's NessanVaughan at iCloud.com. Or there's a phone number as well for Nessan, 087-251-5307. And the application closing date is Friday, the 22nd of October. Now, the job offer I want to highlight today is one from Early Childhood Ireland. They are the leading organisation in the early years sector. It supports 3,900 childcare members who in turn support over 120,000 children and their families through preschool, after school and full day care provision nationwide. Early Childhood Ireland provides a range of professional supports and services for its members and campaigns for better childcare provision in Ireland. They're looking for a press officer who will be a member of the Policy, Advocacy and Campaigns team, the PAC team, but serves as a resource and contributor right throughout the organisation. Now, if that's something that interests you, you can apply by submitting a letter of application and an up-to-date CV of no more than 3 pages, they say, for the attention of Rita Dolan, and you can get Rita Dolan at recruitment at earlychildhoodireland.ie. That's recruitment at earlychildhoodireland.ie before 12 noon on Thursday the 14th of October is when those applications need to arrive. Well, believe it or not, that is it for this week for the Week in Review. Thanks a million to all our contributors to the programme this week. And as always, if you want to get in touch, the best way to do that is on Twitter. You'll get me at NearFM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. So from Sarah and myself, Declan Ralph, we'll all be back at the same time next week. That's 12:30, Saturday lunchtime. See you soon on the radio. Bye for now. Bye-bye.